Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said waiting to be whipped is the most uninteresting period in any boy's life. We're happy to have this privilege of being with you again today. We're glad that you're listening to our Bible Meditations program. Now we return to our study, and we're looking at the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. On this occasion, our master has been met by a lawyer, and this lawyer was asking a question of him, not of honesty and not seeking to know what the answer is, but rather trying to tempt Jesus. The question was this, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. Well, first of all, let it be remembered that the question, "What must I do?" is legitimate. When someone says there's nothing you can do in order to have eternal life, they certainly have not read their Bible well, and they're not applying the teachings of the Bible as God wants them to be applied. The Bible teaches there is something to do, and it is a legitimate question when someone wants to know, what is my responsibility toward God? How do I respond to what God has done to bring salvation to me? Sometimes in their zeal to get away from the command to be baptized, men have devised the idea that there's nothing you can do that has anything to do with salvation, and therefore they have eliminated what the Bible teaches about baptism being for remission of sins. Well, in their attempt, which is a vain attempt, the Lord still says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." They have not removed what the Bible teaches by coming up with this doctrine. The doctrine is not in all in harmony with what the Bible teaches about obedience. James, in the first chapter of his book, explains the fact that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We profit nothing by just hearing the word of God unless we're willing to do it. And so when the question is asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, let's see how the Lord answers the question that is asked along this line. Jesus said unto him, this is verse 26 of Luke 10, "What is written in the law? How readest thou? What does the law say about it?" Now the law obviously referred to is the Old Testament law. What did the law say, and how is it that you read it? What is your understanding of what the law says along this particular line? Well, look at the response. He answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all of thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." All right, there's the answer that he gives. Really, it's not a bad answer, is it? When you look at the answer, the man's tempting Jesus by the question that he asked, but when he's really asked the question himself, "What do you think the law says?" He says, "Well, I must love God and I must love my fellow man." You remember the Lord pointed out the importance of those two instructions by summarizing the Ten Commandment law in that way. He said the first commandment, the great commandment, is love God with all of your heart. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. When you take a careful look at the Ten Commandments, you can see that the first four of the Ten Commandments relate to man's relationship unto God, loving God. No other gods before me, no graven image. Do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those four instructions were given in regard to obedience and love for God. And so it's proper to say the law involved loving God. But then the second is like unto it, loving your fellow man. Well, isn't that included in honoring your father and your mother? Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Aren't these commandments that relate to our relationship unto our fellow man? The answer is yes. Therefore, it becomes apparent that you can divide the law, the Ten Commandments, by those two instructions, love God and love your fellow man. So when the Lord turns the question to the lawyer who's trying to tempt him, the lawyer answers, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, let's see what Jesus' response was to it. Verse 28. He said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Well, when you look at the answer, Jesus said, you've answered right. What you've said is true. Love God, love your fellow man. That's the way it ought to be. And you need to realize that you've given the right answer. Now, this do. In other words, the one who is asking the question, what must I do, has now been told what to do. In fact, he knew what to do, but the question is, was he doing it? Jesus said, you'll live, you'll have eternal life, if you'll do the things that you know to do. Isn't it true that many times in religion, it's not a matter of just not knowing what we ought to do, but rather a matter of not doing what we know to do? Many times we fail in carrying out God's will to us because we just simply will not do what God has commanded. Now, let me show you and let's illustrate that. If I said to you, you ought to study your Bible, and the Bible teaches that you ought to study it, am I telling you something you've never heard before? Is there something about that that you didn't know? Well, certainly we know we ought to study our Bible, but some of us don't do it. Some of us fall short along these lines, and so very clearly, it's not a lack of knowing, it's a lack of doing. When I talk about praying, we sometimes fail to pray. But is it because we don't know that we ought to pray? I doubt that. It seems very clear to me that the reason we don't pray is we just don't do what we know to do. Well, Jesus said to this young man, you have the right answer. Now you do what you know to do. You carry that out. And, of course, carry out that kind of life that you ought to be living, and you'll have eternal life. Life will be granted to you. But look now at the reaction of this lawyer who was trying to trap or tempt Jesus. Verse 29 says, he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Well, the idea of justifying himself is not a new one, and not one with which we have no familiarity. What I'm saying is this. Most of us, in most situations, when we find that we have not done what we should have done, seek a way to justify ourselves. I'm all right. Maybe I've done the wrong thing, but really there's a reason that I've done the wrong thing. We're justifying ourselves. Well, we'll talk about that a little more in our study tomorrow. The attempt to justify ourselves is not a new attempt. We just simply have always tried to justify ourselves in our own eyes and in the eyes of others who behold us. They look at us and we offer excuse. Adam, in the very beginning, was caught in the middle of his sin. And God said, Adam, where art thou? And then he begins to explain, well, God, the woman you gave me, she gave unto me the fruit that you forbid that I eat. She gave it unto me and I did eat. Adam's trying to justify himself. He's trying to find a way to say, somebody else is responsible. Don't hold me responsible. Many times, this is our attitude toward problems that we face. This is the reason that we don't get out of those problems many times, because we're seeking to justify ourselves. We'll pick up at this point tomorrow in our study. We do hope that you'll be listening. Remember, in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.